The following message is brought to you by MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church. We are many stories made one family by one gospel. If you would like to connect with us, please check out our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated this morning. And as you're seated, open your Bibles. Find 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 16 and through 21 in just a minute. Now, I'm going to tell you up front, this is a different type of message than what I typically preach this morning. All right? Typically, we get our text and we just do a full exposition of the text, walking through it. I'm not doing an exposition of 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21 this morning. The Lord just put something else on my heart this morning. So it's going to be more of a pastoral encouragement to think strategically and practically about this life on mission that we're talking about. If you are visiting with us this morning, we launched a new little mini series last Sunday called A Life on Mission, where we're considering the mission of God and our place in it. We started last Sunday by looking at the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's gospel, and we saw from the Great Commission both the why as well as the what of the mission. This morning, I want to consider the who question. Whose mission is this? Who is it that has been called to a life on mission? And I wanted to debunk what is, I believe, one of the most dangerous myths within many churches today, which is the myth that being called into ministry, being called to a life on mission, is a post-conversion experience that happens to only a privileged few. A select few whom God has set apart and called to something truly significant in the world. And unless you're a part of that select few who's been called, you don't really need to worry about thinking strategically about the mission of God or dedicating your life to the mission of God. See, us ordinary Christians, so the myth goes, us ordinary Christians can continue to live our ordinary lives so long as we, you know, we get baptized and we're active in a church. Then we can leave the real work of evangelism and missional engagement to the professionals, those who have been called. Here's the claim I want to establish with you this morning. Every Christian is called to live on mission. Every Christian is called to live on mission. Now, anytime you make a claim like that, you got to support the claim. So let me give you a few pieces of evidence to support that claim that every Christian, and if you are a Christian this morning, yes, I mean you, have been called to join God in what he's doing in this world. Evidence number one is the very text that we looked at last Sunday, the Great Commission, right? Wherein we saw that to be a disciple is to be someone who is learning to observe everything that Jesus commanded. Now, what was one of the things that Jesus commanded? Well, to make disciples. He commanded it in that very text, right? And so to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple is one who is obeying the call to make disciples. Every Christian is called to make disciples. Piece of evidence number two, the book of Acts that we've been in throughout this year, we're going to return to at the beginning of next year. It's been walking through the book of Acts. It's as if Luke, the author of Acts, is going out of his way as he's writing this narrative for us to demonstrate that the gospel, as it goes out from Jerusalem into these new regions of the world and of the Roman Empire, that it's going out primarily not by the apostles, it's primarily being carried out by like ordinary guys and gals. I think of Philip, I think of Acts chapter 8, verse 4, where Luke just tells us, and then there were some men who began proclaiming the gospel in Samaria. And God takes the gospel into Samaria on the mouths of men whom Luke doesn't even give us their name. It's church members, Christians, whom God is calling to be on mission with him in this world. And finally, piece of evidence number three is the text that we're going to look at now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Let me just read the text. I want to make a couple observations from it. Paul says, from now on then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us. Who's the us? Those he has reconciled. If you've been reconciled, then you're included in this us, given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him, that is in Jesus, we might, not on the merit of our own performance or efforts or religious devotion, but on the merit of what he has done, we might become the righteousness of God. Paul makes a couple of interesting comments in this text. First of all, he shows us how the gospel changes the way that we see people, right? He says we no longer see people, any person, from an earthly perspective, from a fleshly perspective. We're no longer just looking at the surface. We're no longer just looking at people the way that the world looks at people, and they seem to have themselves together, or they seem very devoted or religious, and they seem good and moral and upright, and I guess they're doing okay. No, we don't see people according to the flesh any longer, because in Christ, we now see people through the grid of the kingdom of God, through the grid of the gospel. We see all people as image bearers of God, who outside of Jesus are in desperate need of salvation. We see people just like we were, apart from Christ, bound by sin, needing deliverance and needing a deliverer. The gospel changes the way that we see people and think about people. And then Paul says the gospel also changes the way that we see ourselves. What I love about this text is it demonstrates that Christianity is not just about getting devoted to a particular religious tradition. And I start devoting myself to the church and to giving and to service and to prayers. And if I stay really devoted, then maybe at the end of my life, God will accept me. Right? It's not just about becoming an improved creature. Moral reformation, that the gospel is all about becoming a new creation. That this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God is reconciling the world, sinners, to him through Christ. And he does that by invading our darkness and coming within and making us new from the inside out. He says, you have been made these new creations. And that means you now have this new identity. You're a new person, not just an improved person. You're a new person altogether with this new identity. And Paul says a part of that new identity is that you are ambassadors for Christ. You're ambassadors for Jesus. Those who have been reconciled have been entrusted the ministry and the message of reconciliation. That if you've been reconciled, you are an ambassador. Not if you happen to be one of the select chosen few. No, if you have been reconciled to God, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You see, church, the call to follow Christ is not simply a call to receive post-mortem life insurance, all right? It's a call unto this new life where we get to represent God in this world. It's like David Platt has said. He said that God did not save you to sanitize you and put you on the shelf. He saved you to send you into service. He did not save you to quarantine you, but to commission you. You see, when you came to know Jesus, you did not just receive the forgiveness of your sins, you received a promotion. No longer do you have to live for the vanity of a world that is passing away. You now get to represent as an ambassador the King of Kings in the world around you through your message and through your life. You know what this means? This means we have to change the question about calling, okay? No longer is the question, have I been called? Is God calling me? That's not the question. The question is not if you have been called. The question is where and how have you been called to serve as Christ's ambassadors? I want to remind you that God did not just create a mission to give to his church. No, God had a mission and he created his church for his mission to magnify his name among all peoples on planet Earth. This is why we say here at MacArthur Boulevard all the time, it's one of our core values here, that we want to be a church that not, we don't just deploy the select few, the spiritual superstars, whatever that means, who have been called. No, we deploy every member to lead people to trust and follow Christ, to live lives on mission. Every Christian is called to live on mission. Now that's my theological foundation, all right? I want us to build on that foundation. And I want to do so by giving you a framework this morning that shows you how to live out that call. Here's the thing, I think for some Christians, the struggle is actually believing what we just talked about, actually recognizing that they have been called to something more than just showing up at church every Sunday and then showing up in heaven at the end of their life, that they've been called to this life, this God-glorifying life on mission with God. Some Christians struggle to believe that and to embrace that, but that's a concept that we talk about quite a bit here at MacArthur Boulevard. And so I think for us as a church, perhaps our greater struggle is not believing the claim that every Christian has been called, but it's trying to have a vision for how do you live out that call? What does that look like day to day and week to week? Because the reality is so often we feel inadequate to live called, to live on mission with God. We think, well, what can I do? You know, I'm not that gifted. I don't have maybe influence or resources or whatever it might be. And so we struggle to think, man, who am I that I can really make any type of kingdom impact or be of any significance to the kingdom of God? And beyond the feelings of inadequacy, you know, life is just busy. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. And life is busy and it's hectic and things are going on. And so we struggle to know, how do we live out this call? I know I've been called to make disciples. I know I've been called to live on mission. What does that look like? How do we do that? How do we live out the call to live on mission? Here's the answer I want to give to that question. We live out the call to live on mission, all right, by living intentionally by the Spirit within the major stewardships that God provides. Okay, let me say that again. We live intentionally by the Spirit within the major stewardships that God provides. This is how we live out this call. What I want you to see is that a life on mission is not merely adding something else to your already packed to-do list. You know, I gotta buy groceries, I got to pick up the kids from school, I've got, you know, this activity, I've got to be over here. And at the end of the day, at the end of my to-do list, oh yeah, I need to also remember to add on that list, I gotta live on mission. Okay. That's not what a life on mission is all about. A life on mission is simply living intentionally. And what that means is thoughtfully, deliberately, purposefully. Living intentionally by the Spirit, meaning that each day you're discerning, what is the Spirit doing in the world around me? How is the Spirit leading me? How is He directing me? How is He guiding me? What opportunities is the Spirit of God giving me moment by moment each day? Living intentionally by the Spirit within the major stewardships that God has already given you. It's not about adding this to your to-do list. It's about bringing intentionality and Spirit dependency into your life so that you're living on mission within the domains of life that you're already engaged in. Generally speaking, all of us have a few major domains that make up our lives. I think it's helpful to categorize them under three headings: family, work, and location. Family, work, and location. And I call these domains stewardships because each of these domains have been entrusted to us by God in order to steward for His glory. And it's within these major stewardships, family, work, location, it's within these stewardships that we live out our call to make disciples, to engage in a life on mission. So how do we live out the call to live on mission? We live intentionally by the Spirit within the stewardships, the major stewardships that God has provided. I want to just kind of walk through here. We're going to think very practically this morning, all right? This is more of a time to think strategically and practically about how we live out this call. Let's take these each stewardship at a time. Let's begin with the first one, our family stewardship. So this is number one. How do we live out this call to a life on mission? First of all, we live intentionally by the Spirit within the family God gives us. Live intentionally by the Spirit within the family God gives us. Understand, your family is a stewardship given to you by God in order to live out this call to make disciples. This includes your spouse if you're married. It includes your children if you have children. It includes your grandchildren if you have grandchildren, or perhaps even great-grandchildren. It includes your siblings. It includes your extended families. Now, a couple of things about this first stewardship and really about each of these three stewardships. The breadth or the scope of each stewardship will vary person to person depending upon the situation that God has for you, okay? So perhaps you are married with children. Well, your family stewardship, that family domain is a lot broader for you. There's a lot of bandwidth that's required to be faithful within that stewardship. But perhaps you don't have children, or you're not living at home anymore, or maybe you're single. Understand, if that's your situation, it's not that you don't have a family stewardship. It's just that that domain, that stewardship is more focused, giving you greater capacity to invest even more time and energy into the other stewardships that God provides. This seems to be the heart of what Paul is trying to get across in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 when he's making the point that, listen, everybody has a different situation. God has given us all different situations and stewardships when it comes to marriage and family. And it's not that one is better than the other. It's not that if this is your situation, you're more godly or spiritual or you have more blessing. No, God has given each of us different stewardships, different situations. The point is, whatever your situation, whatever situation God has you in this moment, in this season, we are to steward that domain for the glory of God. Okay? So the breadth of each stewardship varies person to person. But not only that, the breadth of each stewardship will change over the course of your life, won't it? As you go in and out of different seasons of your life. Perhaps you were single, but then you got married. That's a new season. And then you started having children, and that's a new season. And so the breadth of that domain is adjusting as you go throughout the seasons of life. And then those children grow old, and ideally they move out eventually. And then maybe one day you start having grandchildren as your steward, that domain of life kind of changes as you walk through life. Or maybe you were married, but whether due to death or divorce, you find yourself single. Your situation has changed in a new season of life. And while the stewardship may change in different seasons, which requires different degrees of engagement within that domain or different types of engagement within that domain, the point is, one of the primary ways in which we live out this call to a life on mission is to steward, living intentionally by the Spirit within the stewardship of family that God has given us according to the situation and according to the season that God has you in, okay? So here's the thing. When you think of a life on mission, yes, I want you to think about the unreached and the nations and the total scope of the mission of God. But as you think of about a life on mission, think also about these basic stewardships that God has given you. That whatever your family situation, your family circumstance, your family season of life, all right, that is an incredible stewardship that God has given you to impact his kingdom and to glorify his name. And my brothers, my sisters, never underestimate the kingdom impact you can make by simply being faithful within the family that God has entrusted to you as a stewardship. You know, sometimes we think that the only way that we can do anything of any significance for the kingdom is if I move overseas or I go into some remote tribe in Africa or Southeast Asia. Never underestimate the significance and the incredible eternal kingdom impact you can make by simply being faithful, living intentionally by the Spirit within the stewardship of family that God has given you. I think one of the great things about heaven is we're going to get to heaven and we're going to see how God work through us in such eternity-changing ways, and we didn't even realize it simply because we were faithful with the little assignments that God has given us. Be faithful, making disciples within the domain of your family, and you watch what God will do with your faithfulness. All right, that's the first domain, the first stewardship, that of family. Let's consider the second stewardship. Number two, how do we live out this call to a life on mission? Well, secondly, we live intentionally by the Spirit within the work that God has given us, within the work that God has given us. Now, typically when we think about stewarding our work for missions or for the kingdom of God, we only typically think of financial stewardship. Well, I work so I can make money. I steward a portion of that money for the kingdom of God, right? That's typically where I'm, and that's true. That's a way in which This is a stewardship for the kingdom. But I want to give you a few other thoughts of what stewarding your work for the mission of God might look like. First of all, in your work, you have the opportunity to steward the skills that God has given you to display his glory in this world. I want you to remember that work is not a part of the curse. Work is not a result of sin. Work was there pre-Genesis 3, right? This is a part of the way God designed us as image bearers to cultivate, to subdue, to work and problem solve and create. This is a part of how we reflect the glory of God in this world. So I don't want you to think, well, the only way that I can glorify God through my work is if my work takes place within a church or within a missions organization. Now, God has called his people to work in all types of different industries and arenas, using their skills and bringing those skills to bear for his glory, under his rule, within the industry that he has you in. You know, maybe God made you a particularly creative person, or he's designed you, maybe you're more analytical, or perhaps you're more empathetic, or you're a good problem solver. We steward these God-given designs and skills under his authority for his glory. Listen, we need God honoring Christians in all industries, right? We need God honoring, Christ honoring Christians in law and in business and in our schools. Like, we need Christians bringing their God-given gifts to bear for the glory of God in these different ways. But beyond stewarding skills for God's glory within your work is also a place, it's a venue that you have to build relationships with people. Now, let's be real for a second. If you take out the amount of hours per day that you spend sleeping, right? For many of you, you spend more hours per day alongside your coworkers than maybe you even do your family. And many of those coworkers don't know Jesus. What an incredible stewardship that God has given you. What an incredible opportunity that God has given you. Now, this doesn't mean that you try to go through each day and awkwardly force the gospel into every staff meeting and into every conversation that I'm in, right? But it means that we live intentionally by the Spirit within the stewardship of our work that God has given us. Maybe you love what you do. Maybe you love your work. Maybe you hate your work. Maybe you're miserable at work. Maybe your work feels really significant. Maybe your work doesn't really feel that significant at all. Again, it is a stewardship that God has entrusted to you. And if you will be faithful to live intentionally by the Spirit within that stewardship, do not underestimate the impact that you can have on the kingdom of God by stewarding this domain well. If you're a student, maybe you're a high school student, college student, you're in a season right now where you are preparing for a life of work. Listen, don't waste this season of your life. Not only are you preparing to live a life of where you can use your skills, your education, your work for the glory of the kingdom of God, but even within the season on a college campus or on a high school or junior high campus, you have an arena where you can build relationships to point people to Christ. Don't just pursue the college experience or the high school experience. Steward this season for the glory of God. Maybe you're retired. Listen, just because you're no longer actually earning income for your work, that does not mean that you can't still steward the skills that God has given you for his name, for his kingdom, for his glory. Let me just give you one more idea of what this could look like, stewarding your work for the kingdom. Your work may be a platform to actually take the gospel into new locations. Missiologists, those who study missions for a living, they have identified what has come to be known as the 1040 window, all right? The 1040 window is a section of the earth that is between the 10th and the 40th latitude lines. And it is estimated that the majority of unreached peoples exist within this 1040 window. And so in missions, naturally, the 1040 window, this section of the earth, it's given priority. It's given particular strategic focus because of the vast lostness that is there. Did you know that there are, if you take all the Christian missionaries, regardless of the organization, the denomination, whatever, there are approximately 40,000 Christian missionaries actively serving within the 1040 window. Guys, there are, it's estimated, around 2 million American businessmen and women conducting business within the 1040 window. Men and women who, because of their work, have access, have a platform into a region, into an area that a lot of Christian missionaries can never get to. What would it look like for us as Christians to begin to see our work as a stewardship for the kingdom? For these 2 million Christian businessmen and businesswomen to recognize, I haven't just been given this work so that I can make money and then support the mission. I've been given this work so that I can steward my skills to actually have a platform to be on mission. So many missiologists believe that the future of missions is going to be carried forward on the wings of business, business as missions, recognizing that our work isn't just about, hey, I got to make money so that I can retire. It's a stewardship that God has given you to live on mission with Him. Okay, so how do we live out this call? Well, we live intentionally by the Spirit, within the family, within the work. Let me talk about the final domain real quick here. The stewardship of location. We live intentionally by the Spirit within the location that God gives us. Where has God put you? Where has God put you? Maybe He's put you in a dorm. Maybe He's put you in an apartment complex. Maybe He's put you in a neighborhood. What city has He put you in? What community has He put you in? For some of you, your family domain is really broad. The scope of that family stewardship, there's a lot going on there. For others, your family stewardship is more narrow and focused. For some of you, your work domain is really broad. You're at the apex of your career. For others, that work domain has become much more narrow and focused. But here's the thing about location. We all have a location, regardless of your season of life. Whether it's your place of residency, whether it's the places where you do recreation, maybe it's the places where you vacation, maybe you're in a particular location because of school, maybe you're in a particular location because of business, you always have a location, and God has put you in that location as a stewardship unto a life on mission. And so my question is, are you living intentionally within your location, thinking strategically, all right, about my neighbors and the gym I go to, or the Camp Gladiator I do, or the retirement facility that I'm in? Are you thinking strategically about the location that God has given you, the people that God has put around you? Are you living by the Spirit within that location as you walk the dog? As you go to the grocery store, are you walking in the Spirit, seeking the direction of the Spirit? Well, how might God want me to join Him on mission within whatever location that He has me in? We live intentionally by the Spirit within the location that God gives us. What I want you to see, guys, and I know this is a different type of message. It's just, that's where the Lord led me this week. God's mission is not only for the vocational missionaries, the paid professionals, the few. We are all called to live on mission, every single one of us. If you know Jesus, you've been called to make disciples, and to live on mission with him. And I don't want you to overcomplicate the mission of God. We live out that call very simply by living intentionally, okay, by the Spirit, in the family, in the work, in the location that God has entrusted you. The breadth of each of those stewardships is going to vary person to person. It's going to change over the scope of your life, but whatever season and whatever situation God has you in, he intends for you to steward that domain of life for the sake of his name and his kingdom. But guys, this requires intentionality. It requires deliberate thought and care, because otherwise the tyranny of the urgent just overwhelms you. And you know how it is. You just start going through life and you're getting jerked this way and that way because of the demands of life. And you can go a week, you can go a month and never actually think about the kingdom of God. It requires intentionality. It requires spirit dependency. You might think to yourself, well, how do I know what am I supposed to say? Like, when do I share the gospel with this family member? Or how do I know at work, you know, who I should engage and how I should engage? Or within my location, how do I know, you know, what do I do and what do I say? And I don't know a more biblical answer to give you than you walk by the Spirit of God. You get up each day and you get in the presence of God and you ask God, would you come into my life today? And would you help me to just be mindful of what you are already doing? And Holy Spirit, would you simply guide me into what you're already doing in the world around me, in my family, in my work, in my location? And you know what? Some days, as you're led by the Spirit, some days the Spirit is going to lead you to give a full-out gospel presentation, use you to lead someone to Christ. And other days, he won't. Other days, he may just lead you to encourage that server at Chili's. Or sometimes he may just put a particular coworker or family member on your heart and give you a deep pressing burden to pray and intercede for them. But you're faithful to, as the Spirit leads, and so you go to bed that night and you don't feel guilty because I didn't lead someone to Jesus today, or maybe I didn't give a full gospel presentation today. You don't feel guilty or ashamed of that because you were faithful with the stewardships that God gave you. You live that day led by the Spirit of God. Pastor Jamie mentioned earlier that we have an equip class that we have designed specifically as a supplement to this sermon series. So the last 2 weeks we've been talking about making disciples, this call to make disciples. And we've said why we have this mission and what that mission is. And now we've seen the who of the mission, that this is a calling for all of us. And so we want to just provide this class for you to give you an opportunity to go a little bit deeper here. Maybe you're hearing all of this and you're recognizing there are opportunities that God has given me that I have not begun to leverage for the kingdom. And I'm wanting to go deeper and I'm needing to take a next step, but I need direction, I need help. This Deploy Every Member Equip class, this is why we put it together. I don't know if we'll do this again going on in the future, but we put it together for this sermon series, all right? So I would encourage you, this is a great way to just respond, not only to this message, but to this entire series where we're considering how we as a church can live on mission, to be engaged in this, where we're going to talk about a lot of this stuff, being a disciple who makes disciples within the stewardships that God gives us. And what does it look to be led by the Spirit in this? Okay, as Pastor Jamie said, we'll have that during our equip class time. That's 9:45 to 10:45 every Sunday morning. This begins next Sunday, but I know that a lot of people serve during that time. So we're also going to offer it in the hospitality room right after this service. We'll have some lunch for you. Come around, stick around an extra hour. And next 6 weeks, 6 week class, right? Next 6 weeks, let's go a little bit deeper and let's flesh out more of what this looks like to live deployed, to live sent, to live on mission with God. Pastor John actually told me, he said, and listen, if you can't make the equip class at 9:45 or the lunch after second service, but you're interested in growing and being a disciple maker, he will take you to lunch and he will buy your lunch for 6 weeks, just working with you one-on-one on how, I don't know, he didn't actually say he would buy it, but I'll commit him to that. Helping you to know, how do I live? How do I steward my life to join God in what he's doing. Listen, there are going to be times in your life when God is going to speak to you and call you in one of those special, significant ways. He's going to call you to move from this location to this location. He's going to call some of you to go overseas with the gospel. He's going to call some of you to be a vocational minister or pastor within the local church. He's going to call you into this radically new environment. Those special, significant callings, they do happen at times throughout our lives. But listen, day to day, week to week, you know how you live called? You live intentionally by his Spirit within the family and the work and the location, as ambassadors of Jesus, as ministers of reconciliation and the stewardships that God has given you. And it is to this life on mission, within these stewardships, that every single Christian has been called.